Thank you to the team, and thank you to Kairos for reading the scripture this evening. One of the words that appears in this psalm in not every translation, but certainly in the ESV and in the King James Version, some of the translations leave this word out because it's not an English word, and so there's also no precise translation of this word. It's the word Selah. And I've spoken about this before, but Selah essentially means pause. And I think this evening, the song that we've just sung so appropriately flows into some of the things that I feel laid on my heart this evening as we look at Psalm 61. But that concept of pausing in the presence of the Lord is so very important. The song we've just sung, the lyrics are to be in your presence, to sit at your feet when your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. To rest in your presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment. Here I would stay. You might have seen that I brought a pencil and a piece of paper to the front with me this evening. It isn't so that I can make sermon notes as I go. A pencil needs a certain amount of pressure to function. If no pressure is applied onto the page, even if you try to write or draw something, it's not going to be very effective. You won't produce any kind of results. And so too, I think that God has designed us to function well under a certain amount of pressure. Of course, applying the right amount of pressure, and you can write or you can draw and you produce a result. And I think again that God has designed us to function under a certain amount of pressure. On this point, it's interesting to note that when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he instructed them to tend the garden before and not after the fall. As Christians, hard work is to be celebrated. Hard work is a good thing, it's a great thing, and as Christians, we should set the example in the workplace of being counted among those who are effective at our jobs and who work hard. Hard work is to be celebrated. On the other hand, life can sometimes be extremely stressful. Even as Christians, we are at risk of burning out if we do not manage the various stresses of life. Of course, if too much pressure is applied to the pencil, I'm not going to lean on my Bible. I should have thought of that, something to lean on. But if you apply too much pressure on a pencil, what's going to happen? Either you're going to make a hole in the paper and damage the environment that you're in, or the pencil is going to break. Certainly, the lead would slip, would crack, and the pencil would not be able to be effectively used. Now, from a psychological point of view, among other possibilities, some people respond to significant levels of stress in their lives by becoming irrational in their thinking, or by social withdrawal, or by becoming aggressive or depressed and pessimistic about life. And again, there might be some other possibilities to high levels of stress. Those are just some of them. Others might experience physical symptoms, even to the degree of paralysis of their bodies. And perhaps you've experienced some or all of these symptoms, and if you have, you're in good company. Because as we read the Psalms, I think there's significant evidence that King David experienced some of these symptoms at various stages of his life too. And yet he also knew the true remedy for being overwhelmed. Long before Paul wrote Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, David knew that the remedy for anxiety and being overwhelmed is to be found in prayer and thanksgiving and in wholehearted reliance on the Lord. So let's give it some thought. How do we currently react when we feel overwhelmed? And might there be some things that we can learn from King David? Let's take this question to our passage for this evening, Psalm 61, and we'll be focusing mainly on the first four verses. David opens the psalm by saying, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." Now, David isn't assuming that God might not hear his prayer. Of course, the living God who created all things, including ears, hears our prayers. And David knew this full well. And from the context, we understand that David is not only appealing to the living God who hears, but to the living God who cares. He is both living and loving. And David is asking that he responds favorably to that which is heard. Yes, of course, God hears our prayers, but David is asking that God would listen to them and respond favorably to that which is asked. And so too, these words indicate David's humility before the Lord. In asking God to listen to his prayer, firstly, he isn't demanding things. He's trusting the Lord's wisdom. But he's also admitting his lowly estate and desperate need for God. Do we know that God is both living and loving? And are we willing to admit that we desperately need him to save us? And to put it another way, in times when we feel overwhelmed, are we willing to humbly turn to God? Or do we rush to working harder or longer hours as we strive to solve our own problems? Again, just as a pencil needs a degree of stress to function effectively, we aren't to avoid hard work when hard work is required, and yet we do well to admit that we are nothing without God. And so we turn to him in fervent prayer, not only when we're overwhelmed, but at all times. Before we move on to the next verse, let me briefly say the following. Speaking to God when we feel overwhelmed is usually a much more difficult step to take for those who might have come from broken homes where you sense the need to earn a parent's love through favorable achievements. And I'd like to, right in the middle of the sermon, take a moment to pray. And some of you I know more about than others, but I don't know the deep wounds of your heart. I don't know what you went through as you grew up. I don't know what kind of experiences you've had with the love of a parent and possibly exactly this, where you felt the need to earn a parent's love by achieving, and by working harder, and by doing all sorts of things. Again, there's absolutely place for achieving and doing our best, but that shouldn't be what we need to do in order to be loved. And so I'd like to just take a moment to pray. And if there are those of you who struggle to receive God's love because of this, I'd invite you just to open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to work within you and to bring healing to those areas. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, you know all things. You're the creator of all things. You're the designer of all things. You, the creator and the designer of each one of us. You knit us together in our mother's wombs, and you intricately designed our innermost beings. You know us full well, O God. We're so grateful for that. We're so grateful that you have seen every moment of our lives. You know exactly what we have been through. Even some of the things that we might have forgotten, you know about and you remember. And you love us more deeply than we can fathom. This evening, Father, I pray for those who might struggle to receive your love because of a failure on the part of an earthly parent. Father, if that is the case, I pray that you help each one of us to forgive parents that haven't been perfect. We know that just as we're not perfect, we can't expect our earthly parents to be perfect. And yet we know that you are perfect. And Father, I pray that you would heal any wounds within our hearts, that we can receive your love and know what it means to trust you completely. I pray that you would help each one of us to rest in your presence, not thinking that we have to strive and achieve to be loved by you. You have paid the price in full. I pray that you would deepen our understanding of what that means, and that you would embrace each one of us this evening. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the second verse begins with the words, "From the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint," or some versions, the ESV uses the word faint, but I prefer a word that some of the other translations use, which is overwhelmed, because that's very much the theme of tonight's sermon. When my heart is overwhelmed, from the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint or overwhelmed. The bottom line is that we often feel furthest from God when we are most overwhelmed. And yet even so, we call to God knowing that he loves us more than we can fathom. Even as human parents, if one of our children is genuinely in dire need, I think that any of us would travel to the furthest part of the world if it meant that we could be of true assistance. Yet God's love for us is far deeper and more extensive than the love of any parent. This is confirmed in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your parents, to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We need to remember that God is the perfect Father. And therefore, we do well to call on him even when he seems worlds away. The second part of verse 2 says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Three things stand out to me as I read these words. Firstly, we need a rock on which to stand. And secondly, that rock must be higher than we are. And thirdly, we cannot get to the rock ourselves. We need to be led there. The scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 refer to Christ as the rock, and scriptures like John chapter 14 refer to Christ as the way. So let's step up and follow him. And remembering Matthew chapter 7's parable of the wise and foolish builders, let's sing with true conviction, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And we take example from David, who was a very great king, a mighty man of God, and yet he didn't stand on his own merit. Right in this psalm, he says he stands on the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We need to see that God is much higher than ourselves, and we need to live in a way that reflects that. In verse 3, David remembers how the Lord has delivered him in the past. He says, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Remembering is a crucial element of our faith. And this is one of the reasons that Christ instructed his followers to remember the events of the cross by sharing in communion. And additionally, the Passover meal itself, on which the first communion took place between Jesus and his disciples, was a remembrance of God's salvation long ago. So the Lord's Supper has multiple layers of remembrance. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to remember the things that he has done for us when sharing communion and when journeying through the rest of life. It is good for us to remember the many things that God has already accomplished in us and for us. And I think that's one of the reasons that it's so good for folk to share testimonies of what the Lord has done and is doing in their lives from time to time. The last four verses are really a foreshadow of the wonderful work of Christ as the great and eternal King. And through Christ, we are welcomed into the presence of God forever, and even now we experience the shelter of his wings from the crushing implications of sin. And so too, we are sheltered from the enemy's fiery darts as we endeavor to live faithful lives. While King David was a great king, Christ is the greater king who will endure to all generations and forever. And so we as the people of New Life Church do well to sing praises to him and worship him and pray to him, even when we feel overwhelmed. Amen.